God's grace be with you today from our Father in heaven. Amen. I've been preaching to you in recent weeks on the Christian family. And so far we've talked about the Christian family in general, the Christian man, the Christian woman, and today will be the final sermon in this series. I'd like to talk with you about the Christian child. And I want to ask, what should a child be like? What does God have in mind? What's his design for a child? What's the vision that God has in his mind for children? So that'll be our subject today. And I'd like to begin by asking, as we did the last couple weeks, why this is important first for us to talk about. Why is it important for us to understand what God wants for children? Well, number one, because children are central to our families. Our joy in life is largely tied up with our children, right? If it's going well with them, then we're filled with all joy. If it's not going well with them, then we're greatly troubled. And so we want the best for our children. So it's important for us to know what God's design is for children so that we can help foster that and nourish them in the truth to be all God designed them to be. And another reason I think we need to talk about this is because I think our generation of children that we have today are largely a lost generation. I mean, just look at the churches across America. It used to be that children were filling the churches to learn about God, his truth, and his love. And a lot of churches today are having trouble getting youth to come at all. They're empty of children. I'd say that's a problem, a big problem. Besides all this, if they're not hearing the word, they're in the culture hearing about all kinds of things that are contrary to the word all the time. Children are taught to believe by our culture things that they're not to believe, such as all religions lead to God, or that there's no such thing as right and wrong. They're also taught to accept things that they're not supposed to accept, such as lying can be good for you, which is taught in movies, or that homosexuality is a valid lifestyle choice, things like that. They're made to hear things. They were never meant or designed to hear, like yelling and fighting in the home. They're made to experience things that God never intended for them to experience, such as divorce and strife in the home, anger, sexual abuse, physical violence, drugs, alcohol temptations. And the biggest one of all, I think, is words that kill and hurt them rather than encourage them in the truth. So they got all that going against them. And along with that, children in our society can often be devalued, where they're to be seen but not heard, right? On the other hand, we have children being, the view is that they ought to act like adults. And you see so many kids' movies today where the children are the heroes, they're acting like adults, and the adults are imbeciles, right? So we got all this going on in our culture today, day and night. This is pumped into them without end, but the word of God and the truth and the grace of God, which is what's needed most, is not given to them. Even in Christian homes, which are more or less functional, the word of God is not a daily diet for the children to be nourished on the word. So what's the result of all this? The result is we get a lot of children in our society, perhaps in our own families, that are frustrated, angry, resentful, acting out based on those kinds of things, rebellious, feeling misunderstood, depressed, and ultimately lost. So I think it's definitely an important thing for us to talk about today, about God's design for children, that our children, our grandchildren, and the children of Cape Canaveral that we minister to as a church might be fulfilled, that they might have happy lives, bringing forth good, and in the end, coming into eternal life in the kingdom of God with us in Christ Jesus. So, what's God's design for children? It's not hard. I'm going to preach today to you today mostly on just four verses of Scripture. That doesn't mean it'll be a short sermon, but I'll do my best to go quickly here. But Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. And what do we read here? It says, "And they were bringing children to Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them up in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Those are the verses I'm preaching on today. What do we learn from them? Well, number one, we learn that God delights in children and that he values them. He says, to such belongs the kingdom. Jesus blessed them. He took them up in his arms. He smiled and he loved them. And this is an important fact for us to get into our minds today, that God delights in children. Because there's this mindset that's out there in the world today and was there even in the days of the apostles and in their minds, the minds of the disciples, that children are to be seen but not heard. Shoo, get them away. Get them away from the king. Get them away from Jesus. This is God in the flesh here. We don't want little children messing with him. But this is not so with Jesus. It's not so with God. You want to see what God's view is? Take a look at Jesus. This is the way it is in his kingdom. He says, "Let the children come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom. I delight in them." That's an amazing thing, that God, the king, who stretched out the heavens in all their multitude by his almighty word of power, wants to give his kingdom not to adults simply, he says here, but to infants, to little boys, and to little girls. And he even elevates children to the point he makes them our teachers. He says, if you, as adults, want to receive the kingdom, you must receive it as a child. He makes children our teachers, exalts them above us, and says, you got to be like them if you want to receive my kingdom. And what is it that we have to do to be like children to receive the kingdom? Well, we could read that in Matthew 18, where it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." That word never means never in any wise, ever. Double negative in the Greek. And then he says, "Whoever humbles himself like this child, he's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So God has designed children to be humble. Children can't go out and provide for themselves, can they? They can't get a job. They can't work. They got to receive everything from their parents as a gift, a free gift from their parent. And that's how Jesus wants you to receive the kingdom of God, like a little child, in all humility. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't provide it for yourself. You must receive it as a gift from your heavenly parent, from our Father, who's prepared it for us through Jesus Christ. And so do you receive the kingdom this way today? As a little child, as a gift, by faith? That's the way God wants you to receive it. So children have this gift of humility, but God also, I think we can see in these verses, designed children to be loved. And a lot of children these days are not so loved. But we read in Mark chapter 10, again, "And they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But he rebuked the disciples, and he took them up in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them." I want to say something here about touching. Our culture is so whacked out on not touching children because we've had a couple of evil people, a lot of evil people, who have mistreated children and touched them the wrong way. But daycare centers today are full of children reaching up to whatever the adult is that they delight in to be touched. They want to be hugged. They need to be. And this is how God designed them to be. Jesus touched them, it says. He wasn't afraid of a lawsuit. We got to take a carefully calculated risk here and actually be able to, you know, pat a child on the back or something like that when they come to our church to welcome them. And parents, we've got to love and touch our children. That's how they are receiving affirmation and acceptance and love. But what do we see today in our culture is instead of that, And a lot of parents do that, but a lot of times they hand them over to babysitters, to daycare centers who can't touch them, to television sets, and to computers and internet, which can't touch them. This is God's design, and if we'll live according to it, they'll be well on their way to being fulfilled. Another thing we see in this passage here, it says, Jesus took them up in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Children are designed by God to need to connect eye to eye, face to face, on their level with an adult, as a special in this case, with Jesus. And I want to ask you, have you done this with your children? Have you done this with your grandchildren? Maybe your knees don't work so well today. Maybe you can't get down and bend and see them on their level. But I'm talking heart to heart on their level. How did Jesus behave with these children? Our God showing us the way. How did he do it? Took them up in his arms. What did he do? All right, here's a child before me. Levitate them. Draw them over here. Zap them. No. You know how he did this? This is a beautiful sight. In order for him to pick them up, Jesus had to go over, get down on one knee at their level. I can just see him getting on his knee, looking them eye in eye and say, "Hi, I'm Jesus. What's your name? Come on over here." And they jump up into his arms and he lifts them up face to face down there, face to face up here, got them on his hip, places his right hand upon them, and blesses them and touches them. That's what our children need. You know, children are designed to rely on their parents to provide for them, but what you really need to provide for them is a face-to-face, heart-to-heart, on their level communication and connection. Children are happy that you give them food or Cheerios or Wheaties, but what they really need from you is that you provide for them a strong arm to run into, a heart that understands them, that would lift them up and bless them. Do you have this? You can foster this with your children and grandchildren. Another thing is, we see in this passage, God designed children for faith. This is why he delights in them. He says, "Let the little children come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Isn't that great? God doesn't give his kingdom to unbelievers. He gives it to those who believe in him. And children have an amazing capacity to believe. We had a children's festival here a couple years ago, and we had the Paige Dale and Mattingly come, if you remember them. Paige Dale and Brittany, and Brittany was about five then. I remember asking them on the way home, I said, "Are you guys Christians?" They said, "No, we're Episcopalians." And I said, "Well, a Christian's an Episcopalian's a Christian." They said, "What's a Christian?" I said, "Well, we believe as Christians that there is one God, that he created the world, that he loves us, but we sinned against him, and so death entered into the world. But God loves us. He sent his son to save us. Jesus died for our sins on the cross to take them all away, to give us eternal life. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross?" They'd never heard of it before, but they say, "Yes." And then I said, "And do you know that he rose again from the dead on the third day?" They said, "We've never heard of that." So I said, "Well, he died on that day of the cross, and then 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, and the angels bore witness to it. Do you believe this?" They said, "Yes." I mean, come on, try that with an adult. You're going to be trying to convince them for maybe months or years at a time to bring them to faith. With a child, they have an amazing capacity to believe. And this is why God gives the kingdom to them. Also, I remember my own daughter, Naomi, when she was 3 years old. She was at a friend's house in Wisconsin, and a tornado was raging through the town. We weren't there. We were in another town. She was staying at a friend's house. And it ripped through the town, headed right for their home. And all the family were worried, but the mother, our friend, told us that Naomi was the one amongst them all who was not worried. She said, "Don't worry, God will take care of us." Totally confident. And the tornado beelined it right for their house, and as we could see by the destruction the next day, it headed right for their house. lifted up, went over their house, and came down and continued. And so Naomi called me on the phone a little later and said, she said, "Yeah, Dad, there was an angry tomato, but God saved us." But she knew it was a tornado. She just didn't know the word. But the faith of a child, God says we're to be like them. And God designed them also to be full of joy. Notice Jesus, it says here in this passage, he took them up in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. What do you think the children were like when they went away from Jesus? So bummed. Where's my popsicle, Mom? No. They were excited, bounding with joy. And children, as you know, have this effervescent joy instilled in them, a wonder in the moment. Even children in dire circumstances light up quickly with a smile a lot of times. And what our job is as parents is to nourish that gift of God in them so that they carry it with them into adulthood and all their lives, even when they meet in the face of adversities. But now for the most important thing that we can see in this passage, I think, is that God designed children to be led by their parents to Jesus. It says here in verse 13 again, and they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them. Who was bringing them? Who? The parents were bringing the children to Jesus. This is God's design. That's what they need, really. More than anything else, your children and grandchildren need to be brought to the Lord to know him, because that's what life is all about. And these words which I command you this day, God says through Moses, shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You know what we got today? A large part of our population will wait hours in the line to bring their children to sit on the lap of Santa Claus, but they will not bring their children to Jesus that he might bless them. That's the one thing children need above all. We read in the Old Testament lesson in Judges chapter 2, that's why the children, the next generation, failed the Lord. They served him all the days of Joshua, it says, and all that generation were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work which he'd done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, and provoked the Lord to anger. Parents, if you're listening today, or grandparents, the one thing you need most, our children, the one thing you need most is to know Jesus personally and to have his grace in your life and in your family, in the forgiveness of your sins. This is what children need the most. Now, let me ask you, what is the state of your families today? Hopefully, they're blessed. I know all of us have brokenness in our families to some degree. Some more broken than others, but we're all broken. We've all sinned, parents and children alike. But I'll tell you something, God has come to our world, looked on it, all the broken families, our broken relationship with him, and he came to give us life. And how did he do it? It's like we talked about in the children's sermon, through forgiveness, setting us free. And how did he do it? By sending his perfect child, perfectly designed exactly as he desires children to be, Jesus Christ. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And how is he God's perfect son? Well, he was God in the flesh. He trusted in his Father perfectly. He depended upon him, relied upon him to provide and protect. He lived in all humility, as we talked about, with all joy, nourished on the Word of God, and keeping it all his days. He was obedient to his earthly parents, as we read in Luke chapter 2. He was also obedient to his heavenly Father. Jesus said, in John 8, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own authority, but speak thus as the Father has taught me. And he who has sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, for I always do what is pleasing to him. A father-son relationship. It was perfect always. Always doing what pleased his Father. And God says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The perfect father-son relationship came to heal you. And how did he do it? Again, it's forgiveness. Look, I'll do the children's sermon again. If we harm one another and we try to get out of it, sin locks us in. The only way to be freed ever and to bring a relationship back together again is forgiveness. We get broken apart through sin, we come back together again through forgiveness. We get broken apart through sin in our families, we have to come back again through forgiveness. That's what God did for you. Look at the board over here, the banner. He was pierced for our transgressions. That's a prophecy from 800 years before Christ. The punishment that was upon him brought us peace. The sins that we committed, it says, were laid upon him on the cross. He became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God's highly exalted him. Do you know today that you can have a perfect relationship with your Father in heaven as a child of God through Jesus Christ today? That he has taken away your sins and forgives you, and this grace touches your heart like nothing else. And we have this word in Ephesians 1. God, he destined us in love. He destined you to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely bestowed on you and the beloved. And in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he's lavished upon us. God has reconciled your relationship with him. You, believing on him, receive that forgiveness. And you know what he wants now? That we would be brought together again, not only horizontally with him, but he wants to heal your family. He wants you to heal in the vertical relationship too. And how do you do that? First, receiving the grace and forgiveness of God, and then practicing it with each other. Here's my commandment to you with the authority God's given me and my encouragement to you. Once again, in your families, every night before you go to sleep, husband and wives, children, mothers with their children, forgive each other. Mom, dad, I've sinned against you today. Forgive me. I do. Son, daughter, I've sinned against you today. Forgive me. I forgive you. Husband, wife, I forgive you. Please forgive me. And reconcile. Bring your family back together again, and God will not only heal you, but then build you up in the faith. And then we can nourish each other on the word and make that a daily practice in our homes. And grandparents, like my grandmom sent to me, every time she sent a card, she'd always write on it a scripture verse. Why don't you do that this week? Encourage your grandchildren in the Lord. And finally then, our relationship with God is as a child with a true parent. He is like an eagle, he says in the scriptures, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them up on its feathers. The Lord alone did lead him, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride on the heights of the earth. And so may God lift up you and your families to ride on the heights of the earth. Amen.